Welcome to the Outdoor Hour on your VOCM. We're talking hunting, fishing, hiking, camping, climbing, diving, and whatever else you can get up to outdoors. Here's your host of the VOCM Outdoor Hour, Leslie Ann Corrigan.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Outdoor Hour on your VOCM. I am your host, Leslie Ann Corrigan, and I'm proud to be your guide on these weekly adventures. We're here every Saturday afternoon at 2 talking about all things outdoors, from hunting and fishing to diving and motorsports and everything in between. If you've missed any episodes, you can find them on VOCM.com. Just hit the shows tab and you'll find us there under weekends on VOCM. And as soon as we're finished our chat here today, it will also be available up there on the SoundCloud, so you can take us with you wherever you go. This week on the VOCM Outdoor Hour, we are going snowmobiling, because what do you do when Mother Nature throws a couple of hundred centimeters of snow at you in a few weeks? You play in it, of course. I'm joined by a couple of snowmobiling experts this afternoon, so I know we're going to have a great chat. My first guest is Andrew Goldsworthy of Sledworthy Magazine. Sledworthy is Atlantic Canada's snowmobiling magazine and digital platform. Andrew started the magazine in 2005, drawing on a passion he had for the sport and for sharing that with others. So welcome, Andrew.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, we're glad to have you here. So we're also joined by Nikki Duffett, who is a riding enthusiast from Harbor Breton originally, and she's going to share some of her personal experiences in snowmobiling here in Newfoundland and Labrador. Thanks for joining us, Nikki.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Excellent. So we'll start with you, Andrew. As I mentioned, you started the magazine in 2005. Let's go back a little further than that. How did you get started in sledding itself?
Great question. I grew up in a sledding-oriented family. Probably from the age of 7 or 8, it's probably the first memory I have of actually being asked if I wanted to take control of the machine. And I grew up in a family where utility came before fun. And what I mean by utility is we use snow machines for hauling wood, for work activity. But there was always that balance after the work was done. Dad would say, okay, it's your turn now. Take it for a rip on the pond. And, you know, just you know, be safe, be controlled. And that's where it started. And I was the type of kid growing up in school, you know, in between classes, I was constantly doodling pictures of snow machines. I'm sure my mother, Claire, in Port Rexton, still has the pictures of, you know, Andrew's doodles from, you know, from grade 4 of pictures of snow machines. My father was an avid outdoorsman growing up, hunting, fishing, but snowmobiling. So in the early 80s, my father and his buddies, they would do week-long excursions down trekking through the middle of Newfoundland. And these were incredible journeys. And he would come back and he would tell us all these fascinating stories about being on like Kitten Cat Lake and being on all these incredible land masses and just seeing these incredible things. And he said to myself and my brother, we should start writing this stuff down, because these are the types of stories, destinations that not everyone's going to be able to get to, or if anything, people would want to know about them. So at that early age, that's actually where the idea for Sledworthy came from.
And so did your dad kind of originally contribute to the magazine? Was it some of his stories that you first got in there?
Yeah, I think in the very first edition of the magazine back in 2005, it was the fall of 2005, we actually, one of our main focuses was asking people the question of who introduced you to snowmobiling. And for me, my memory, it was my parents, my family. And that sparked, you know, many, many great conversations with people over the years, because that's a conversation that everyone can remember who introduced them to snowmobiling. And then along the way, it's all the people who have had positive impacts on their experiences with snowmobiling. Like just over the past couple of weeks, I met Nikki for the first time, and, you know, we'll probably have a snowmobiling relationship for a long time. And so moving forward, and that's one thing about snowmobilers, it's a really unique camaraderie. It doesn't matter the background, it doesn't matter what you do professionally, your education, when you're out there enjoying snowmobiling, everything is equal, right? And that's, I remember someone, I was over on St. George's and the Callahans, Mr. Ron Callahan, who's passed away now. That's one thing he said to me about snowmobiling, about, you know, it's that common ground of everyone. And that stuck with me for a long time.
Right. And it's a great way for people to, you know, kind of start off with a group of people, get involved in something that people already have experience with. You get your feet wet and then you can kind of come up through. That's excellent. So as an insider in the industry, I know that there is an industry that has grown over the past. I mean, as you said, it's kind of started off as sleds were tools to use the woods and to kind of get what you needed, rabbits or wood and that sort of thing. That a lot of that has changed. What changes in the industry have you seen?
Oh, probably the equipment itself, the technology. The equipment now, it's so specifically built for its purpose. We do a lot of backcountry riding, and these are machines that they're not necessarily meant for comfort. They're meant for deep snow, navigating really technical terrain with really big lugs, really long tracks, and they look really intimidating, but in their element, they're so nimble and so agile. And when someone sees the size of these machines, but then when they see them in action doing what they can, people are like, wow, that's incredible. Still in Newfoundland, though, the biggest segment for the market, it's still in the utility sled. So what's really interesting to see now is how the manufacturers, the OEMs, are creating these what they call extreme utility segments, where they're trying to create that ultimate balance between the functionality of a utility machine, but all the features of the extreme machines. And, you know, I guess it is speaking to that segment of the market.
Right, and it goes back to what you said earlier, that your dad used it as the tool, as the vehicle in the woods, but then you got to go on a burn. So you want something that you can have fun on when you're finished working.
Absolutely. And the biggest, you know, beyond the equipment, the snow machines now, it's how technology has made snowmobiling that much safer. Mm-hmm. Back in the days, I remember my dad packing his compass, and dad was he was a master mariner, and he would, you know, he knew how to use a sextant. How many people would go out snowmobiling nowadays would be able to break out a sextant and use that?
No, they wouldn't know what
nobody
it is.
Let alone a traditional map and compass. But that's actually how they would navigate mm-hmm. years ago, using map and compass. You know, today we have GPS, we have two-way satellite communicators, we have satellite phones. But the thing is, things still go wrong. And, you know, in Sled Corps, we practice, and, you know, not just that we practice, we preach the importance of safety and making good decisions, especially when we have groups in the wilderness. They're under our watch, our responsibility. And, you know, the number of protocols and checklists we go through before we take anyone in the backcountry, it's, you know, a lot of the participants in our events, they have no idea the number of things that we check off before we actually go into an event, but it's there to keep everyone safe.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So you mentioned Sled Corps. I know it's one of the businesses that have cropped up around this pastime that has become a passion for, you know, thousands of Newfoundlanders. Tell us a little bit about Sled Corps and what you guys do.
Yes, Sled Corps started in 2014, and it's a combination of, well, my passion personally for snowmobiling, and two of my business partners, Jonathan Anthony, Evan Morgan, both from Deer Lake, who were absolutely enthusiasts into snowmobiling. Two of the guys were contributors, writers to Sledworthy. We knew there was a market opportunity to basically teach and instruct people in a one-on-one capacity of how to basically enjoy their backcountry mountain-specific equipment for what it was designed to do. So we started that. You know, the guys were very hesitant. They were like, oh, Andrew, we don't think this is going to work. And I said, oh, hold on now. I've seen this work in other markets. I did a lot of research. I spent time with some experts like Brett Rasmussen, who is, you know, he's known as the professor when it comes to this space. So I want to understand how they did what they were doing, then bring that back to Newfoundland and say, okay, now let's actually recreate this for Newfoundland, but let's be even more focused on the user. Let's make sure we have a very high ratio of instructor to participant so that we can break things down and make it simple for people, but show them how they need to practice things. Give people techniques so that they use the weight of the machine or gravity to their advantage. I'm 47 years old, and I could still go out and ride all day with the 22-year-olds. And they look at you and say, how can you do this all day? It comes down to being a smarter rider. And backcountry riding is about riding smart.
Mm-hmm. But 47, I mean, you're not exactly, an older, you know, senior citizen here. What is the typical age range of snowmobilers do you find in the province?
Still presently, it's definitely the majority of people who are out there. The biggest segment, it's still probably 50 plus. But that segment, they're doing a lot of trail riding, long haul riding. You don't have, you still have the few people over 50 doing what I consider the more extreme technical riding. And the thing is, with technique and skill, it's what makes it possible. Mm-hmm. My days of doing big drops or big jumps are long gone. I don't get paid enough to do that anymore. But the thing is, I want to be able to do technical riding as much as possible. And what I mean by that is I can still, and I'll be able to do this, will into my 60s, be able to traverse a 60-degree slope and basically do it with ease.
Excellent. Well, we're going to learn more about how you help other people do that in the province. When we come back, we're going to be chatting with Nikki Duffett. I'm Leslie Ann Corrigan. You're listening to The Outdoor Hour on VOCM.
The Outdoor Hour on your VOCM will return in a moment.
The VOCM Outdoor Hour is brought to you by Ocean Quest Adventures. Ocean Quest Adventures. Unordinary people experiencing extraordinary adventures. The Outdoor Hour is brought to you by Atlantic Recreation Limited, your platinum 5-star Yamaha dealer. Visit Atlantic Recreation Limited, 17 Cory King Drive.
Now let's get back to the Outdoor Hour on your VOCM.
And welcome back to the VOCM Outdoor Hour on your VOCM. We are talking snowmobiling today with Andrew Goldsworthy and Nikki Duffett. I'm Leslie Ann Corrigan. Before the break, we were talking with Andrew about the snowmobiling industry and how it has changed over the years, including many businesses who have popped up. Some rent sleds, offer tours, and Andrew was telling us a little bit about the clinics that his company offers, SledCorps. So tell us a little bit more about these clinics. You were mentioning that they're for offering skills to people. Is it targeted towards people who are brand new to sledding, or is it something that if you've been an experienced rider, you can get something out of?
Yeah, great question. When we first started, we were offering the clinics. They were pretty much predominantly male-oriented, and we were getting incredible uptake. And it was from riders who probably had been riding for 25 plus years, but they were riding the methods that they were shown years ago, where you straddle the seat and, extreme riding was standing up and trying to do wheelies. So we were trying to take people out of a mindset as to things like, okay, think about this, when you're actually up on one ski, you're in control. So to the most riders, they're like, well, I don't understand what you're talking about. But that's actually what we're talking about. In order to be in control, you have to be on your side, and you have to actually know how to maneuver certain terrain that way. So first starting out, it was very male oriented. It was experienced riders. And we quickly realized that, okay, we're going to get to a point where we're going to basically saturate. We're going to use up or experience all those riders. And we actually, in the first couple of years, did quite a few riding clinics. We experimented with doing two-day adventures in the backcountry, all-inclusive events, or just one-day events. We were trying to find that niche, what would work in the market. Then we actually did a couples riding clinic, which was really interesting. And the couples clinic, we were blown away because the uptake was incredible. But what was happening was the couples, they wanted to ride together. The relationship, it was kind of that one didn't want advice from the other. And what the feedback we got, we said, oh yeah, but guys, they'll take feedback from you, but they won't take it from me. And I don't have the patience for doing this. In one of my other careers, I teach in the post-secondary world. So I deal with college students day in, day out. So I have tons of patience, and I have three little kids. So I've got tons of patience there. So, and that's one thing I practice and preach within our network of that we have to be the most patient people on the slope. From that clinic, we realized that the female segment was probably one of the biggest market segments that we knew there was going to be opportunity in. You look at Harley-Davidson, they identify the female rider as one of their biggest growth areas. Same thing played out with us for SledCorps. Our female riding clinic series has probably become, over the last 2-3 years, the most in-demand function that we have. We've done 3 years in a row now. This past year, we expanded to Stephenville. We had an incredible event down there. And what happens, there becomes this following, the camaraderie amongst the riders, where they want to come back now as their collective, their group, who basically enjoyed their day together, but they're learning together. So skill level, most of our participants have basic functionality. They know where the gas is. They know where the throttle is. They probably grew up on a snow machine. But what happens, we have a lot of people who say, well, I want to be able to keep up with you know, I want to ride with the guys, or I want to do the things they're doing, or I don't want to be that the weakest link in the chain. So it's about learning those skills. If anything, snowmobiling is about having the confidence, because the equipment can do it. It's, you know, and that's hands down easily. It's mentally preparing yourself that you have the ability to do the maneuvers and the techniques. And if you need to go into a side hill, or if you need to do a controlled descent, drop down into a dip and come back the other side, the fact that, yeah, I can do that because right. I've done it before. Now, in the clinics, we walk people through it step by step. We try to break it down as much as possible. Clinics are really about understanding the process and then taking it away and practicing. It's classic Malcolm Gladwell. You got to spend, like, you know, we're talking 10,000 hours doing this stuff. I joke with Nikki before about, you know, how many downhill U-turns do you think I've done in my sledding career? I've done thousands of them, right? And, you know, you've got, you know, if you really want to excel at your sport, it's no different than Carl English shooting free throws. How many free throws has that man taken? How many downhill U-turns, or how many side hills have I've done in my time, or how many times have I gotten stuck? I don't care who you are, everyone gets stuck snowmobiling. I've gone with grown men where they almost take that as a defeat. It's like, oh, I can't believe I got stuck. But that's all part of pushing yourself personally.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So Nikki, you recently took part in one of these ladies clinics. Tell us about that.
We at the one that I was involved in left from the Jack Ladder. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, Andrew and the whole crew were very, very patient. I think I got stuck a couple of times. Did I, Andrew? Maybe three times.
Not the only one, I'm sure.
Yeah. I felt like the old lady on the hill. But it was fantastic. And they really did kind of break it down, you know, build up your confidence that you really know what it is that you're doing and understand why it is that you're doing it and kind of the mechanics behind it.
Right.
So and the physics exactly. And so it was nice. Now, my particular sled wasn't built. I like to think that might have been some of my problem, but and that's my story. And just kind of understanding how the machines are intended to work and why the opposite of what you think you should do is the right thing to do.
Right. But you've been sledding for a long time. Like, this wasn't, you know, you're not new to this.
Okay. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I've been snowmobiling, well, since I can remember. You know, same thing. Family on the front of a machine or on the back of a machine or tied onto a slide behind the machine. Mm-hmm. So I was reared on them. But this was one of the first times I've really kind of got into the mechanics of backcountry snowmobiling. So it was definitely different. I absolutely loved it. Excellent. Every minute of it.
Mm-hmm. Before we started, I remember saying to Nikki, now Nikki, the way your machine is branded, you're quickly going to realize that your machine is actually branded. It's really great marketing on it, but your machine is designed not to do what we're going at today. And I said to her, I said, you're going to work twice as hard as everyone else. And some of it, it's actually allowing, because the number of people who will say, well, should I go rent a mountain machine? We say, well, what machine will you ride the next day? And in Nikki's case, she's going to be riding the same machine. Mm-hmm. So what we usually say to people, hey, listen, if you really enjoy this and you think this is something you're going to be doing more and more, this is an opportunity to realize, okay, maybe I have the wrong machine for what I want to do. Yeah. Because you're not going to be 100% of your time riding in those backcountry conditions. So mm-hmm. it's finding that balance. Mm-hmm. And you know, there are good machines out there that actually have that balance.
Yeah. Right. So typically, Nikki, you're not in the backcountry doing the more extreme sports. You're on trails.
Not necessarily on trails, but in the country, Terra Nova country is okay. That's our stomping ground. So we said Kipmkak. I know it very well. My dad has a cabin at Kipmkak, and we have a hunting cabin just a few kilometers away. And so that's our kind of terrain. Pretty flat, not a whole lot of use for when it comes to side hilling and such. But it's nice to really understand how to not get stuck.
Absolutely.
Or how to get yourself out when you do get stuck without calling Andrew.
You know something? Even in the clinics, it's showing people, okay, if you're about to get stuck, things you can do before it actually happens to make then the extraction that much easier, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Or if you have someone with you, okay, how you delegate responsibilities if someone is giving you a ski plug.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So with the riding that you typically do, I know, you know, like you mentioned around Terra Nova, have you done any longer range? There's so much opportunity here to do for trail riders to do that long range trip. Have you done any yourself?
I haven't done it myself. I'm not, that wouldn't necessarily be the type of snowmobiling that I would normally choose to do. I do like kind of being in the backcountry now, I know that I love to do. But we kind of go in through the country, sometimes breaking our own trails, that type of thing. And now I have a 3-year-old, so a lot of our snowmobiling life involves packing up some s'mores and going to the Boy Scout camp and having a fire and feeding the gray jays and getting the kids out on the out in the woods. And it's fantastic. It's one of our absolute favorite family events to do. Yeah.
So do you typically do overnights or just kind of go to another satellite cabin, that sort of thing?
We go to another cabin. So our cabin, which is called Nonagon, which is about 40 kilometers in from Terra Nova. So we'll go in there, we'll stay in there for a night or a couple of nights. That's kind of home base. So our regular routine would be to go into Nonagon, we'll light the fire, and then you go on in from there. You go to Mount Sylvester is a popular spot, or just kind of tour around the area. And then later on the day you come back and your cabin's nice and warm and there's people stopping by and have a little cook up. And yeah, so it's great. It's very, very social.
Excellent.
Considering you're quite literally in the middle of nowhere.
Right. It's a big community. Hey, and it's, there's a kind of a community for everyone. There's family and then there's the more adventure side of things. So
absolutely.
When we get back from this break, we'll talk more about that. I am Leslie Ann Corrigan. I'm here with Nikki Duffett and Andrew Goldsworthy, and we're talking snowmobiling on the Outdoor Hour on your VOCM.
The Outdoor Hour on your VOCM will return in a moment.
The VOCM Outdoor Hour is brought to you by Ocean Quest Adventures. Ocean Quest Adventures. Unordinary people experiencing extraordinary adventures. The Outdoor Hour is brought to you by Atlantic Recreation Limited, your platinum 5-star Yamaha dealer. Visit Atlantic Recreation Limited, 17 Corey King Drive.
Now let's get back to the Outdoor Hour on your VOCM.
And we're back on the VOCM Outdoor Hour. I'm Leslie Ann Corrigan talking snowmobiling during this exceptional winter with Andrew Goldsworthy of Sledworthy Magazine and SledCore and snowmobiler Nikki Duffett. Before the break, we were chatting with Nikki about her snowmobiling experiences. You mentioned that you like to go with your family and you like to take your kids and it's a very social thing. Do you see many women doing solo riding, or is it more family oriented?
Oh, a little bit of both. I think depending on where you go, you'll see it in different capacities. There is a lot of families that will be snowmobiling in the area of, like, in the Terra Nova area, and couples and from all ages. I think it's becoming more and more popular. You see the ladies driving by in all their gear, and it's something that you see a lot more now than you ever have before. I had no idea when I did the ladies' sled clinic. I had no idea. I showed up there, and these ladies, they're the real deal. Mm-hmm. They look it. They drive like it. They absolutely were the real deal. So it was nice to be in their company.
Absolutely. So, Andrew, I guess with these ladies' clinics, they've only been going a few years, but they're growing all the time. So what types of ladies are you getting in? You know, Nikki mentioned lots have experience already. What types of ladies are you getting in? You know, do they want to get more into the backcountry?
Yeah. One of our challenges right now is that we've done three consecutive years. The challenge we have is that every year the same ladies want to do a clinic again because they want to come in with the same people in a controlled, comfortable environment. Our challenge is, how do we accommodate the new people who raise their hand to say, hey, I want in on that too? Mm-hmm. That's a good business challenge. It's a good issue. We've actually had to grow our sled core instructor base to accommodate that. And, you know, one of our goals was that we actually wanted to encourage, foster, and find more female instructors. So Joellen Chalk and Kristen Morrissey rose to the challenge. Incredible riders, probably some of the best backcountry riders, I'd say, in Atlantic Canada, hands down. But having it's female instructors like that there at a female clinic, it just adds to it. Mm-hmm. Because I think at the end of the day, the participants, they don't care who the instruction's from. But I think the fact that knowing that we have female instructors there, it means a lot. Mm-hmm. We're finding a lot of people are coming out. It's people who are experienced riders, but they want to take that riding to the next level where they want – because they have the ability to ride. That's like Nikki. Nikki knew how to ride when she showed up. We wanted to show Nikki things about how to do counter steer, how to basically get comfortable with your machine in more challenging terrain. Mm-hmm. And sometimes some of that is realized that, oh, you know, the machine I have, it's probably not the machine for doing these. I could still do these things. We showed her how, but Nikki basically will make her decision if she's going to stay with that machine or realize, you know, I think my next machine, I might try something a little different. Mm-hmm. At Sled Corps, we predominantly ride Polaris. So we actually encourage people to try those units because we want people to say, hey, find the machine that works for you. So moving forward, you know, our group in Stephenville that did their event, they're already saying, well, we want to do another event again next year. And what's happening, people within that community are already saying, oh, well, we want to participate too. So it's now going to be a matter of saying, okay, well, how do we facilitate this? I think this experiential-based learning, it's where growth and it's where opportunity is for the province of Newfoundland and Labrador. We have such unique riding opportunities where you can do so many things. Newfoundland, we could point our skis and go. We have the only national park in Canada that you could snowmobile in. These are all things that are so unique to this province. And creating experience-based learning situations or learning experiences, it's where opportunity definitely exists. So we've had inquiries for absolute beginner sessions, which I actually think there's an opportunity for that because people, especially winters like this where, you know, the East Coast is actually getting snow this year, people are thinking, okay, we've got the snow, what's there to do? You know, I've done the snowshoeing. I finally got to use my Costco snowshoes. I got out, did that. Now if this thing caught snowmobiling, because they're seeing their friends posting pictures, and God bless social media, it's great. You know, if people are starting to read content on Sledworthy about trips to Great Harbor Deep or trips to Mount Sylvester, and they're asking questions. And, you know, and I've said to people at the Department of Tourism that, hey, listen, our destination stories on Sledworthy.com, they're yours. Use them. It's probably one of the best assets we have in the entire province. And it's not leveraged. And I'm like, guys, listen, we're all in this together. It's something called winter. Some of us absolutely love it. Let's spread the word of how exciting it is.
And there's companies all over the province that rent snowmobiles as well. So that's the thing. Like if you're sitting out there and you're thinking, I don't have a machine. I'm not like Nikki. I don't have two into shit and the kids one. I'm brand new to this.
Right.
There are opportunities for you to rent a machine, take a tour, get out there, and they will match your level of skill.
Right. And there are people who will package your tour around what you want to do, what you want to try. Great operators. Paul Rose in Central, Rob Clark in Western, and then some of the all-inclusive like lodges you'll go to. It's probably some of the best hospitality you'll ever experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you get to experience that outdoors, that boil up, that sort of thing. And again, it's for all skill levels. It's for all different types. You mm-hmm. can take tours and get into the backcountry. You can take tours and go on trails, groomed trails, ungroomed trails, that sort of thing. One other type of snowmobiling that is really growing here in Newfoundland and Labrador, and we are really the central of it, is the racing community. I know that Kane's Quest is coming up now in a couple of weeks, March 7th. It's going to kick off in Labrador City. This is, of course, one of the most extreme endurance races in the world. It happens right here in our province, across the wild of Labrador every second year. And it kicks off in Labrador City. It traces a 3,100-kilometer loop from Lab City over to the coast and back. It's an incredible journey. Obviously, Andrew, with the magazine, you're familiar with Kane's Quest. What more can you tell us about it?
Well, I had the privilege of actually covering the very first Kane's Quest. I actually got to cover it from the helicopter. So I got to see it from a perspective that very few got to see it from. But I got to see how extreme that race is. It's a battle of machine and your mental ability. It's, you know, because the thing is, the equipment can last. But when you're basically running on, you know, limited sleep, extreme conditions and having to think on your feet and having to survive and having to make quick decisions. And when sometimes people are you know, they're tired, sleep deprivation, and just, you know, and occasionally it shows the ability of people of how to sometimes MacGyver or jerry-rig things in the backcountry, because, you know, all the tweaking and all the modifications that can be done in the garage or in the shed prior to the competition, when you basically squeeze that throttle to basically start the race, nobody knows what's going to happen. And this year, snow conditions in Labrador aren't as plentiful as it was last year. Mm-hmm. So that's going to add another element to the race. But we're talking about a race, 3,000 plus kilometers over probably a 5 to 6 day period, where you're traveling some of the most extreme terrain in the world, where teams from the world come to this event now. You know, it's not for the faint of heart, but it's for someone. There are a number of people who I've spoke to who have Cane's Quest on their bucket list. It's mm-hmm. actually incredible. It's really great to see more and more teams from Newfoundland signing up. I know a good friend of mine, Gerard from Stephenville area, he's actually going Team 49, racing with Guy Stiles out of Stephenville. They're racing this year. I've got friends. Mark Tinkham has run the race a number of times. And, you know, I remember the first year, didn't complete it, but he went back because his goal was just to complete the race. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to finish first because, you know, in order to finish first in that race, the racers are one thing, but the support crews are the most important thing. You know, because that winning Cane's Quest, it's a team effort. And if you haven't thought out every possible scenario, what could go wrong and what will go wrong, and if you haven't worked it through 10, 20, 1,000 times, you're not going to win. And, you know, it's basically you almost need to go run the race the first time and then go back after to say, okay, well, our lessons learned from the first race, mm-hmm. what are we going to do now to change things?
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned people come from all over the world to take part in this race. They are big teams. They are people who do this, you know, throughout the year, throughout the world. You know, some of them come with teams of 20 and 30 people even, I know.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, just the budgets alone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I remember Rob Gardner out of Team Maine, and Rob saying how it's getting tougher and tougher to basically raise sponsor monies. But it's one of those things. It's like this is a test of both man and equipment. And I could see the manufacturers, the OEMs, wanting really to say, hey, our equipment survived this, and mm-hmm. you know, and seeing it, because if you look at some of the other events around the world, you know, in Yukon or Alaska, those events are getting, you know, they get a lot of recognition within the industry. I think Cane's Quest hasn't gotten the recognition that it deserves, because it's probably from a terrain, from the endurance level, it's probably a much more challenging event.
I know it's the longest, is it not?
Longest, but I think the terrain is actually probably even more challenging.
Yeah, definitely.
Some of the other events, they're running point A to point B, straight shots where you're basically holding it to the bar and going 100 miles an hour, and that's it.
It's a race.
This, you're basically pointing your machine and you're traversing riverbeds. You're going over massive lakes with huge drifts that are rock solid, so you have suspension parts breaking. You're actually on the coast of Labrador where you're battling those issues. Then you're internal side of Labrador where it's from one extreme to another.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. So make sure, folks, that you keep up with the race. It is so interesting to track the teams and hear about their adventures and the communities they visit. This race and this industry are very important to rural Newfoundland and Labrador's economy. In such a wild and amazing place, it's great to see communities engaged and making the most of it. I'm Leslie Ann Corrigan. We'll be back on the VOCM Outdoor Hour in just a moment.
The Outdoor Hour on your VOCM will return in a moment.
The VOCM Outdoor Hour is brought to you by Ocean Quest Adventures. Ocean Quest Adventures, unordinary people experiencing extraordinary adventures. The Outdoor Hour is brought to you by Atlantic Recreation Limited, your platinum 5-star Yamaha dealer. Visit Atlantic Recreation Limited, 17 Corey King Drive.
Now let's get back to the Outdoor Hour on your VOCM.
And we're back on the VOCM Outdoor Hour. I'm your host, Leslie Ann Corrigan, and we're talking snowmobiling with enthusiast Nikki Duffett and Andrew Goldsworthy of Sledworthy Magazine and SledCore. And we're talking about Kane's Quest before we left, but not everyone is going to be taking part in this massive, incredible event. Most people are out on the snowmobiles with their families or with their friends, that sort of thing. How has equipment sort of changed over the years, Andrew, when you're talking about who is riding the machines?
Absolutely. Well, even the ability to stay warm and the brands of clothing now are so well designed, and the layering process, it's like the manufacturers of clothing, they have it down to a science. Depending, once again, like the machines, if you're stood around ice fishing, well, there's specific equipment for that. If you're actually doing extreme riding where you're going to be sweating, your ability to ventilate or have waterproofing. The equipment itself, the OEMs, the snow machines, are now so well equipped for comfort. This year, the first year, I think, since I've been riding, I actually have a machine that I consider a family mover. It's, you know, I still have my mountain machine, but I have a machine. It was a Titan XC 800, and it's a machine that I can finally take the family on. And I think I was the most enthusiastic in the house, way more enthusiastic than my kids. However, it was my test to say, hey, listen, gang, this thing called winter, I love it so much, I want to share my enthusiasm with you folks. And now, you know, the ability that myself, my wife can go, or we can actually, I could take one child and my wife could take another child on a machine, and we can go and we can enjoy some of the things that I truly enjoyed as a kid. The boil-ups in the woods, showing your children how to light a fire. You know, and if you've never lit that fire in the wood yourself, YouTube it. You know, it's not rocket science, but there's certain techniques when you're lighting a fire in the winter, certain things you want to make sure you do and you don't. But, you know, some of my childhood memories, it's, you know, salt fish with butter and homemade bread, can of beans and a cup of tea in the woods. You can't beat that, right? Uh-huh. And those are the memories that everyone should experience. Or, you know, it could be, you know, how to roast or heat a sandwich over an open fire. These are the things that, the positive memories that, you know, children, they don't forget that stuff.
No, and it inspires them to keep up this hobby. And I guess for you, Nikki, with a young child, I mean, you had this hobby before that. You don't want your life to stop when you have kids. So introducing him to that is a way for you to keep that up, hey?
Absolutely. It definitely is. We love taking Harrison out when we go. And we go for short runs. We don't try to push him too far. I think that's one of the big things, especially when people are first getting into snowmobiling and they're getting out there. And I think the first instinct for people is, well, I don't want to invest in expensive gear or the right gear. But by doing that, you will be warm and you'll be comfortable and you'll be dry and those kinds of things. So it's kind of a catch 22 a little bit, because you don't know if you like it, so you don't want to invest in it. But by investing in it, or at least borrowing the right gear, it will make all the difference in the world. So we try not to kind of push Harrison too far. We take him out so that when he comes back, he's still a happy kiddo and he's still warm, and then he wants to go again the next day. So that's a win.
Right. Yep. Absolutely.
Nikki brings up a really interesting point. If you're inviting a new person, a newbie out to snowmobiling, gauge who you're inviting out and don't expect to do your normal routines. I remember a few years back, I made the mistake of inviting someone on one of our normal trips. In my world, this was all normal. We were 100 kilometers in the backcountry, and it was, you know, it was getting late, and we still had all these different things to do. The person said, Andrew, I did not enjoy that. It was basically, it was way over my head. And in fact, I could tell halfway in that, I made a mistake here. And I, you know, Dan is out of the U.S., but he wrote an article for us about that exact topic of, if you're inviting someone, don't basically, you know, understand who you're inviting and set the stage. It's just like what Nikki was saying. You want to set the person up for a positive experience. And I had the challenge now with my children, where they're like, yeah, but Dad, we don't want to go out and do the things that you normally do. And I said, no, I just want to go out and enjoy. Let's go for a trail ride. I don't care. You know, because to me, all things winter, doesn't matter if it's a trail ride or if we're doing some extreme things, it's still fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have to keep it fun. That similar situation happened to me as you're describing. You take someone out and I had never snowmobiled in my life. And the first time I went out, we went for 8 hours and it was just too much. So I would like to try it again. Maybe I'll have to take, if you do a beginner's clinic, I'll have to come out with Nikki for sure. So folks, we cannot talk about snowmobiling, especially, but any outdoor activity without talking about safety. Nikki, how about you? How do you prepare with your family and that sort of thing for safety when you're on the trail?
We always have a bag with us that will get us through the night if we ever needed to. We carry dry clothes, extra pair of dry clothes, socks, you know, your base layers. We always take extra gloves and put it into waterproof bags. So then if something did happen, if it went through the ice or you're crossing a river, something happens and you get wet, at least you can change into some dry clothes. Lots of fire starter, hand warmers, all those types of things. One of my favorite things actually that I see around a lot now, and we have, there was kind of, when it comes to communication and people being able to get you when you're out of cell service or you being able to get a hold of your family or emergency services if you need it, you know, there's different versions of it. And, you know, recently we started carrying a satellite phone, which is great, but for the most part, we can get our family, but our family can't get us. Mm-hmm. So recently we have the InReach, and so we have the ability to text at any time. So basically it's on a cell signal, but you can text back and forth. You know, family can get you. So if you're out and there's an emergency at home, at least they can get in contact with you, which makes it a lot more comfortable for your friends and family to know that they can get you if they need to. And it's a very, very comforting thing to know that if you ever did get in trouble, even though you're ready to spend the night in the woods because you've gone prepared, at least you shouldn't need to, because you will be able to contact somebody. And of course, that's all GPS logged, so they'll know exactly your exact location at any given time, and they can send in a helicopter should they need to, or rescue personnel. So that would be my recommendations.
Your advice. Absolutely.
Yes.
So Andrew, how about you? Have you had any, you've been doing snowmobiling in the backcountry for a long time. Have you ever had any close calls?
Not that what I would say close calls. We've had tons of situations where we've had to go take measures, and it could be measures of, if we're in with a group, of actually condensing down the size of the group, going to what we consider safety protocols. And that could be a matter of, we're crossing an open body where it's actually zero visibility, where we have very strict rules as to, okay, here's what we're doing for the next 2 kilometers, and so I've had those situations. And where I've had situations where I've seen very confident riders crumble. And, you know, sometimes it's a matter of, if someone hasn't been experiencing that and they haven't gone through these extreme conditions to see what a true whiteout looks like, where you can't see anything in front of you, you know, you actually have to be able to gauge the people with you and keeping people calm. So sometimes it's being that beacon of comfort to let them know that, hey, listen, you know, you're not alone. You're here with me. We're going to do this together. Mm-hmm. So I've had situations where we've had to go into those procedures, those protocols. I've never, knock on wood, I've never had to overnight in the woods. But like Nikki said, I'm always prepared to. And I know that I have all the right things to start a fire, to stay warm. I have enough, you know, nourishment to basically to stay fed for so long. You know, and then it's a matter of, you know, the safety equipment. People go out and they'll buy the technology and they'll actually, you know, they'll be proud they have it. But the number of people who don't take the time to learn how to use their equipment, it's kind of shocking. But it's one of those things, you know, if you have the two-way satellite communicators like Nikki was talking about, there's a number of great ones out there. The InReach, which is a Garmin product. There's a SpotX, which is another great product. Mm-hmm. Take the time to set them up. And, you know, we're not talking this is, you know, and the technology is great because you can set them up where you can do it all web-based. Your family members, they can track you and follow you. It's like technology is basically, it's there for us to use, and it's there to keep us safe. Mm-hmm. So, you know, advice would be, take the time to learn how to use your GPS properly. Take the time to know how to use your communicators. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things, test them when you're in the backcountry. Test your two-way communicators. Send off that, hey, I'm fine message just to confirm that things are working fine. Because it may work out on your patio, A-okay, but if you get, you know, up close to, you know, Western Brook Gorge, and all of a sudden you get caught in really nasty conditions, and you go to use that, and you're like, oh, darn, how did I do this again?
Right. Mm-hmm. And I know that if your local dealer is an incredible resource for learning how to use your technology and your equipment, mm-hmm. everybody really goes online, tries to get the best deal for the products that they're getting, and then you don't know how to use it. You don't know how to set it up. So mm-hmm. as you mentioned, it's important to know how to use it. And there's an incredible resource in your community at your local dealership. They will help you, whether it's your electronics dealer or your actual snowmobile dealer. And also your local dealer is your gateway sort of to your network. So if you want to reach out to other people in the community who are doing the same thing, maybe mm-hmm. kind of expand your interest in snowmobiling,
yeah.
that's your network to yeah. do that. Yeah.
And to add to that, I think this is an opportunity for the dealers to basically create these education information sessions for mm-hmm. the community. Have them at their dealership, and mm-hmm. it could be how to use a GPS, how to use a two-way communicator. If I own the dealership, I would be doing that.
Right, absolutely. And I know lots of them are, and they're open to just people coming in through the door. You know, I want this, but I want to know how to use it. And of course, we are going to be hosting an event with Stingray Radio and the Newfoundland Sportsman, the Newfoundland Sportsman Outdoor Expo, coming up May 22nd to 24th at the Paradise Double Ice Complex. Lots of snowmobile dealers and brands and advice at that show. So swing on by. We'd love to see you guys there. Thank you so much to my guests, Andrew Goldsworthy, Nikki Duffett. It was a great chat about snowmobiling. We'll see you next week right here on VOCM for the Outdoor Hour.